Dub, how it is that a nice Israeli man like yourself is involved in baseball and speaks English so well? Are they connected?
There is a connection. I made what I call involuntary aliyah when I was 7 years old from the States with my parents. I was born in Saratoga Springs, New York, but I've been in Israel ever since. So I consider myself 99.9% Israeli. I'm married to an Israeli. I speak Hebrew to my daughters. But the one thing that I have still very much part of me is the game of baseball, which I've been never able to disconnect from. So that's a big part of my life, and I still cultivate that.
The other part of this project that we're going to be talking about has to do with Kabbalah. And how did you get to Kabbalah, and how did you put it together with baseball?
Well, actually, I don't know much about Kabbalah. I know that there are different ways of dealing with Kabbalah. As a person who has a yeshiva education, Kabbalah was something that was not dealt with usually. I was very much in a yeshiva where Kabbalah was not spoken of at all. Throughout the past few years, it's been something filtered through the media and through that's something that's more accessible. And the specific connection between baseball and Kabbalah was something that somebody once pointed out to me and sent me somebody pointing out that the baseball diamond is similar to the Tree of Life. But to say that I know much about that Kabbalah and what is really behind the Tree of Life would be stretching it a little.
How do you see those two pieces coming together?
Well, what I felt that baseball, and this is, I guess, my deeper connection, even today when we know that everything in sports is a lot about money and business, and we try to keep it the romantic side of baseball, I'm trying to nurture that part of it, the pureness of it. I think has a lot of elements of life that are described in the Kabbalistic Tree of Life. Things like chesed, like giving. Ted Williams was called the splendid splendor. There are certain things about the game and the way the game plays itself, in my view, that do not exist in games like football or basketball, where you can find those elements of the game. There's a certain splendor to the game. There's a certain wisdom to the game. And those who are the bigger fan you are of the game, and the more you see it and appreciate it, the more you see of those elements. And that's why I saw the connection to those elements that are described in the Kabbalah Tree of Life.
So let's go through the field, I guess,
right.
The playing field. Mm-hmm. And the most important player in a baseball game is?
Well, I would say that would be the pitcher. I think the pitcher is the one who dictates the rhythm of the game. And that's why it works nicely that it's important to, I'll just sidetrack for a moment. It's important to understand that I did not move around the elements that are on the Kabbalic tree. Those are the given in my work. So I had to fit as well as possible the different positions, the different position players in baseball to what already existed. So some of them fit better than others, of course, but the one that did the most is probably the pitcher, who's the foundation of the game. Because nothing better than watching a good pitcher's duel, than watching a pitcher being able to take control of the game, dictate again its rhythm, and how the game is going to play out. So that is the foundation, the yesod.
And the yesod throws the ball to the...
to the catcher, to the kingdom. I find it very interesting that there is something royal about being the catcher. The catcher is usually the most underappreciated player in the game, as the what they call the battery between the pitcher and the catcher, who work the game together. And catchers have a feeling, I feel sometimes, even you see it in baseball movies, like kids' movies, he's usually the chubby kid who's like the boss of the field, like the nice boss of the field. But he sort of, he keeps his own. To him, the home plate is just as much his as the batter is, and it's his kingdom. It's like when the batter walks into the batter's box, the catcher would say, he's walking to my kingdom, so you better watch out. And that's why I thought that worked very well also with this.
And then the ball gets hit into the outfield. How do you work the outfield?
Well, the outfield here has worked. The center fielder is the crown. That may be the Keter. I'm a little bit biased as a Yankees fan, unoriginal as that may be, where center field is hallowed ground in Yankee Stadium because of Mickey Mantle and Bernie Williams, different periods. But there was always a great center fielder. They're working on that now to see if they can regain that. But there also is something, the Keter, there is something that the crown jewel, at least in the club that I, the team that I, I'm a fan of, is definitely the crown jewel of the outfield.
Then there are two other positions in the outfield, depending on which way the ball goes.
Right, we have the right fielder here who's into Chochmah, which that's a little bit of a push maybe, but there is definitely a Chochmah in certain right fields. But one thing that's interesting about baseball is that every field is a little different. I mean, there's no such thing. You would never imagine that there would be two basketball courts that are different sizes or have different dimensions. But baseball fields, every field has a different dimension. You walk into Fenway Park, so right field is considered tough to play. In Yankee Stadium, you'll have a short right field because it's the house that Ruth built, and they wanted a short porch for him to hit more home runs. So there's a chokmah even in the way that the field is built according to the team. A lot of times, if the team is being built around a certain player, if they're building a new field, they'll actually work that wisdom into how they can get more production out of their hitters towards that part of the field.
And then the other side of right field, it becomes?
Left field, which would be bina. Very similar to the chokmah, I guess. We would say that there has to be some kind of bina in that also. The Green Monster in Boston is the short probably the most famous left field in baseball, and the player playing off that wall, the left fielder of playing in Boston, definitely will need a lot of bina to play those balls hitting off the wall, the scoreboard in left field.
So it goes out into the field, and then they have to usually end up throwing it to first, which is.
First is Netzach, is victory, or it could also be considered eternity. First base is there are a lot of big games end at that throw out to first. Again, going back to the 2004 World Series, where Doug Mankiewicz from the Boston Red Sox caught that ball to end the World Series. That throw to first is a lot of times the signal of victory of the Netzach. That's when it ends, and that's when the players leave the field and leave with the victory. So that.
And then if things continue, it ends up in.
Second base. Is Tiferet, beauty, and I think that works in very well. I remember as a kid watching Willie Randolph in second base, and there's a lot of beauty everywhere in the infield, but that combination between shortstop and second base, that pivot where you have to jump and throw back to first, a lot of beauty there, especially with the combination with shortstop.
Which is
strength. You definitely have to be strong to be a shortstop. The game has changed a lot. Shortstop used to be the position for the skinny, athletic, non-power hitter. That changed with Cal Ripken Jr. in the 80s, late 80s, early 90s, where he was the first power-hitting shortstop. But there's a lot of strength, a lot of mental strength also in getting those balls going through the infield. And then to third base, which is splendor. And there we have the likes of Brooks Robinson, who was probably the best defensive third baseman. Lots of splendor, lots of beauty in that game, and how to work the balls coming to him and throwing them to first to throw the runner out.
And then what happened to the hitter?
Well, again, I had to make some stretches here. I had to make some compromises. I haven't found a way to work in the hitter yet. I'm open to suggestion. What I did have to work in here is an umpire. Because the infield is not symmetrical. You have a shortstop between second and third, but there's no one between first and second. Now, the Tree of Life has that form of having someone between first and second also. And that happens to be the chesed, the mercy. So I thought that worked in pretty well with having a merciful umpire. They're not always merciful, but I thought that worked nice to have a representation of the umpires also on the field.
In the traditional Kabbalah, I believe there's a certain play of relationships between movements, between the different sirot, between these different worlds. Can you see a game in which that process takes place in the Kabbalistic sense?
That's an interesting question. I think it's hard for me to answer. I'm sure a lot of the connections. I actually considered visualizing the connections also, because you see that on the Kabbalistic tree, there are certain things, there are letters that go between. And again, being very much of a layman when it comes to Kabbalah, I wasn't sure how to work that in. But it's definitely as when the foundation, when the Yesod is throwing the ball to the Malchut, and then he throws out somebody at second, that is definitely Tiferet. So I think it can work.
And you call this the field of life. Does that relate to any particular baseball field?
Yes, I had in mind the field of dreams that the movie, in the book, based on the book Field of Dreams. It's a cross between the field of dreams and the tree of life. So I thought the field of life, having again these elements being part of the play field, the playground that is life, or the field that we play on, I thought that worked in well.
You are also involved in you also are creating other works of art. Do other of your works of art relate to Jewish subjects as directly as this does?
Yes, almost all of my artwork works directly with Judaism. This is actually my first thing that has to do with sports. My first piece with sports. I was asked that recently. I try to find new and interesting visuals, intention and form and type and color that has to do with Israeli and Jewish society and culture.
Is there somewhere, place where people can see these, website or exhibits?
Our best place to see my work is on my website, which is doveabramson.com. doveabramson.com.
And you've exhibited in the United States, I believe, in New York?
Yes, I had a piece of mine called Ner Mitzvah, a piece that dealt with the 613 mitzvot of the Torah that was acquired by the Jewish Museum in New York and was until recently on exhibit there. I've also exhibited in the Israel Museum in Jerusalem and around galleries around Israel.
Thank you very much, Dov.
Thanks a lot, Yaron. Thank you.